Hello, everybody. This is Robin Steele, pastor of Promised Land Church in San Marcos, Texas, and it is a privilege to have you with us on our podcast today. Today, we're in part two of a sermon series called Meat and Potatoes, and it's very simple. We just talk about reading the Word of God. We often get hung up in the details of life and all the distractions and things that are happening, and we forget how simple but how important reading God's holy word is. So this is a message with very practical insight on reading the Bible. As always, you can get our full version of the sermon notes at PastorRobin.com. You can respond, ask questions, get the full version of all the scriptures and sermon notes there at PastorRobin.com. Here you go. Here's meat and potatoes, reading scripture.
Today, we're going to look at a prayer of a man named David in Psalm 119, where he expresses to God his love, and David is deeply understands his position as a son and his place in the kingdom. And we know, those of us that have studied David, you know David was not a perfect guy at all. He had a lot of flaws in his life. He had affairs. And then one of his key affairs with Bathsheba, he arranged for Bathsheba's husband to die. I mean, he arranged for a murder to happen to cover up his sin. I mean, David was not a perfect guy. He was messed up and sinful like a lot of us, like all of us, let's just be honest, right? And so at the same time, he had a understanding of who God was and who he was, and he loved God, and he loved the Word of God. And we see in Psalm 119, turn there with me if you got a Bible or you're on your phone or whatever, turn with me to Psalm 119. This is the longest chapter in the whole Bible, and I'm just going to pick pieces of it today and hit three main things that the Word of God does in our life. Even today, it happened in David's life, but the Word of God is a living and breathing bread that we eat. It speaks to us. It nourishes us. It still has the same power that it did when David was reading the Word of God thousands of years ago. So as we take up the Bible, we have this position that David had as a child. We want to pray to God as his child, our Father who art in heaven, but we also want to pick up his word and have an expression of gratitude and worship when we pray and when we read the word of God. So the very first blank there on your notes, take out your notes and join with me as we hit these three things. This is verse by verse teaching, but it's all out of order verse by verse. So you need to be on the fly. Take some notes. Jot these things down. And the first one is this. His word gives us direction. His word gives us direction. David understood that life is full of clutter and full of obstacles and full of challenges, but the Word of God brings light and a lamp. So how many of you, look at this stage. It looks awful, doesn't it? For those of us that are very nicely organized people, this is clutter. And would y'all agree that this is the way life looks? Like life is messed up. This is an allegory of your life here. This is the path. You're born over here, and you're going to die over there. And from this point on this stage, there's all these obstacles in life that we have to navigate through in order to get safely on the other side. You might agree that this is what life is like. However, this is really not what life is like. However, this is what life is like right here. Check this out.
Okay, for all of you that are on the podcast, let me step in real quick and just say that at this point, all the lights in the whole sanctuary went out. It was a total blackout.
This is really what life's all about. This is what it's like. There are obstacles in our path, but we don't know where they are unless, as David so wisely figured out, he says in Psalm 119, 105, Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So when we have the word of God in our heart and in our mind, the word, the actual word of God, is a lamp to guide our path. That word lamp, when you look at it, is not like a lamp that you would buy at IKEA, you know, or Target or Walmart. It is a small, tiny little lamp that would fit in your hands made out of clay. It's got a wick, and it's you fill it with oil, and it puts out this little flickering light that shows you the way you are to go. That was what the lamps were in Bible times. But that word light is a beautiful word also. It doesn't just mean any light. That word light that he's talking about actually means the light from the sun as it comes across the horizon in the morning. So he's saying, your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is the sunrise to my path. And there's people in here today that have been trying to find your way through life without the light or the lamp, and you just keep on stumping your toe on the things of life. Let's read this next passage here. He keeps on talking about it. This is verse 29. It says, "Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions." Keep me from lying to myself. Keep me from lying to myself. How do we quit lying to ourselves? We know the word of God. We know his instructions. And how do we know his instructions? By reading his word. All right, I'm going to ask you questions today. This is very simple. This is call and response. And so whenever I ask you a question like that, the answer is always going to be the same. Okay, it's going to be read his word. Those of you that are raised Catholic, you know what I'm talking about, okay? The priest says something, you just respond. That's what's going to happen today. So if I ask you a question like, how do we know the instructions of the Lord, you say? We read his word. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. How do I know his instructions? By reading his word. That's right. And a good example of this would be for those of you men that know how to get from your bed to the bathroom at night without the light, because you've been walking that path for many months, years, right? But tonight you forgot that your wife rearranged the bedroom. And you go through the dark, and you're lying to yourself because your wife arranged it in a different way, and you stub your little toe on the edge of that dresser, and you begin to express things in the middle of the night. That cannot be repeated here this morning. You know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you what, in my house, if there's anything that I can stub my toe on within a 15-mile radius, my little toe, I'm going to find that item. But David understood, I will lie to my own self. I will lie to my own self. But your word teaches me the truth. The next passage is verse 37. Turn my eyes away from worthless things and give me life through your word. Turn my eyes away from Facebook and give me life through your word. Come on now, let's step on some toes here today. Turn my eyes away from worthless things and give me life through your word. How do I get life through his word? That's right, we read His Word. We don't get the Word of God by osmosis or by some magical powers. We read His Word. We've been blessed to live in a generation that has hundreds of Bible translations in our native language. There's still some languages in the world that don't have the Bible in their language, and we're working hard to solve that. But we, as Americans, have it in so many different... Not only do we have it in English, but we have it in tons of translations in English. We can read the Word. We can have His instructions. Verse 39, help me abandon my shameful ways, for your regulations are good. The shameful ways, this path of life that we think is right, but we can abandon that shameful way, or that way that earlier he said lying to himself, we can abandon that by knowing what his regulations are. We abandon the shameful by knowing his regulations. I used to wander off, this is verse 67, I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I closely follow your Word. There's times in our life when we need a father to discipline us. Our Heavenly Father will discipline us and he will put us back on the right path. But then this scripture, David says, I can self-discipline myself when I have your Word in my heart. I can discipline myself. I don't need God to step in and do some supernatural correction. I can self-discipline myself when I closely follow your Word. So how do you closely follow his Word? You got to read it. You got to jump into it. Verse 74, may all who fear you find in me a cause for joy, for I have put hope in your Word. Verse 98, your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Verse 101, I have refused to walk on any evil path, so that I may remain obedient to your Word. Look at the love of a child to restrictions and boundaries. I want y'all to understand this. When we don't have a clear understanding of who God is in our life, we have a twisted view of boundaries and restrictions. But when we see the heart of David, this heart that is passionate and following after God and knowing he's broken and he's human and he's sin-filled, but he's following after a God that's perfect, he knows that by following the restrictions and the guidelines of God, he stays close to that God and he refuses the evil path. But he loves it and he desires it and he craves the rules and the restrictions and the guidelines. It is the way he responds to this wonderful and beautiful God. I have refused to walk on any path of any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your Word. Let's look at verse 104. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. How do we know what the false way of life is? Y'all still with me? Even in the dark, that's good. I see some of your faces glowing out there. I'm assuming you're in the Word right now. Good. Verse 133, guide my steps by your Word so that I will not be overcome by evil. Guide my steps by your Word so that I will not be overcome. Lord, let your Word guide. How can the Word guide me? That wasn't a trick question. It felt like a trick question, didn't it? It's so simple. This is meat and potatoes, y'all. We read his Word. That's it. Let's try this out. Candace, can you turn the lights on real quick? This is what a lot of times happens. If I don't have the Word of God in my heart, and then I'm going through life. Now, cut them. Can you cut them that quick? If I have not read his Word... Let's say that again. Read his Word. Oh, that was awful. Okay. If we haven't read his Word, then we're in the dark. when we read his word, the light comes back on. Oh, Lord. May your word stay alive. Please. Let's turn the light on. This is enough. Okay. You know, illustrations are good and all, but we want the iPad to live. Okay. Guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. Verse 165, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. I want the word that we read, that I'm reading here today, and as you read it on these screens, I want it just to soak into your heart, into your mind, into your soul and your spirit. I want just to do its work. I don't want this to be a message about my speaking or my illustrations or my skills or anything like that. I just want the word of God itself to speak new, fresh air, breathe fresh air into your life today. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. You know what? Can somebody come? Mario, can you come set this up so I have something to put this on? Thank you. This is the crux of what David had in his heart, that when I know and I have your instructions inside of me, even though they're rules, even though they're standards and they're things that I may not necessarily want to do in my life, when they're in my heart, I know because I trust you, God. I know because I trust you that they will protect me and they will keep me close to you. The more you mature, let's all just apply this to our life right now. The more you mature as a believer, the more thankful you are for the regulations and the structure and the boundaries of God's word. The older you get, the more you realize that your parents' curfew was for your own good. The younger you are, the more immature you are, you think it's the worst thing. You think that rules are just, they're out there to be mean to you and to constrict you and to have power over you. But the older you get, the more you realize that after it gets dark at midnight, there's not a whole lot of profitable things that a 15 and 16-year-old can do in the dark. Come on now. Even adults. Do I need to stay on that for a little bit, or should I just... Some of y'all need to reinstill a curfew, maybe some boundaries and some rules. We understand that when we follow these instructions and we're inside of God's plan, it is a safe place and it keeps us close to the heart of God. This is our response to him. It's a beautiful thing. And Jesus, in his Gospels, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as Jesus is teaching, he takes the restrictions and the rules and the guidelines from the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, and he actually upgrades 9 of them and makes them even more strict. He says, the Old Testament says, do not murder, but I say unto you, don't murder, but also pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. It's not eye for eye anymore. It's pray for them, love them, serve them. He says the Old Testament says to not commit adultery, but I say unto you, don't even commit lust, because in your mind, once you have done that, you have committed adultery in your heart. So Jesus gives us these restrictions. All right, the next thing is his word brings us deliverance. His word brings us deliverance. Psalm 119:25, I lie in the dust, revive me by your word. And I just want this section of sermon right here to speak to all of you that are struggling here today. Some of you are in darkness and depression and loneliness, and you're sad and you're struggling and you're trying to find solutions to life, and you might need to be revived. You might need your heart to be lifted. You might need your mind to be freed from the stress of life, the stress of work, the stress of your family life or whatever. Sometimes the holidays just put more pressure on us because our family is not the way we want it to be, and we're forced and pressured and put into situations that we don't like. I want the Word of God to speak to you today so that you can find your revival. It says, David says, I lie in the dust. I lie in the dust. This is a king. This is a king that had servants and billions of dollars in gold and silver and a palace that took 7 years to build. So this is not just a pauper, a poor man. This is the king saying, I lie in the dust. Revive me. By what? He says in verse 28, I weep with sorrow. Encourage me. How? By your word. I long to obey, verse 40, I long to obey your commandments. Renew my life with your goodness. Revive, he said in verse 25. Encourage, he said in verse 28. Renew, verse 40. Revive, encourage, renew. I want that in my life. I want a revival. I want to be encouraged. I want to be renewed. How do we have these things in our life? Read his word. This section over here, I didn't hear anything. Y'all need to step it up a little bit. Read his word. Verse 43, do not snatch your word of truth from me, for your regulations are my only hope. You may not be hearing the voice of God immediately in your life, but you still know what his word said about regulations. They are sometimes the only thing we have to hold on to, that he knows us, he loves us, he cares for us. And David had that clear in his mind, verse 43. Verse 45, I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. I walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments. Verse 50, your promise revives me. It comforts me in all of my troubles. Evil people, verse 61, try to drag me into sin, but I am firmly anchored in your instructions. Let's stop there. Evil people try to drag me into sin, but I am firmly anchored to your instructions. How can you be firmly anchored in the instructions of God? Yeah, that was nice. Now y'all are in first place. Everybody else needs to step it up. Good job. Turned it around. Adam and Eve were not firmly anchored in the instructions God gave them, and so they fell to sin. We in our life don't anchor ourselves in the instructions of God, and so we fall to sin. If Eve had been anchored and trusted God, that when he said, don't eat of this one tree, if she would have just been anchored and trusted God in that one simple instruction, she would not have allowed the serpent to drag her to sin. If Adam had been anchored in what God had told him, don't eat of this one fruit, he would not have allowed his wife to drag him into sin. The dragging and the evil people don't look like Halloween figures, you know, scary mask, evil skeleton, fangs and the tail with the fork and the pitchfork and all that. That's not what the temptation looks like. That's not what the evil one looks like. The evil one that's dragging you away looks like the best thing you've ever seen. The most attractive people, the most attractive lifestyle, the most attractive thing at school or thing at work or thing, person or place or thing, whatever it is, they're dragging you. If you're not firmly anchored in the instruction of God, they will pull you away every time. But how, you tell me, how do we firmly anchor ourselves in God's instruction? Yes, we read his word. Amen. Verse 69, arrogant people smear me with lies, but in truth, I obey your commandments with all my heart. I am worn out waiting for your rescue. But, that's a big but in the Bible right there. But I have put my hope in your word. Think about yourself, and I want you to be honest with me. How many of y'all have prayed that prayer? I am worn out waiting for your rescue. Oh my goodness. It's encouraging to read the Bible and to read one of the heroes of the Bible, King David, say the same thing that I said this week. Lord, I am worn out waiting on you. I'm so tired, and I'm longing for you to show up and be the God that you said you would be. And but until you do show up, I have put hope in your word. Now, how can we put hope in his word? I pray by the time you get out here, this place here today, you're going to get how simple the message is today. It's meat and potatoes. There is power in God. There's deliverance in God. There's encouragement and renewal and revival. It is in the Word of God, but it's not going to be in our life. We can't receive that until we actually read it. You can't put your hope in something that you haven't heard. You can't put your hope in something that you don't know anything about. But when we read his word, we see the promises of God and we have something to hold on to. Yeah. I'm worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put hope in your word. Verse 87, they almost finished me off, but I refused to abandon your commandments. I refused to abandon your commandments. Verse 92, if your instructions hadn't sustained me with joy, I would have died in my misery. Verse 93, I will never forget your commandments, for by them you give me life. Now, there's a lot of people in Christianity today that think that God's going to bless them in other ways, and God is able to do all things. But look at this solid truth, old school truth from God that he provides and he blesses through the simple commandments. You give me life. Verse 109, my life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. You are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. I will not stop obeying your instructions. You are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. As pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. In your faithful love, verse 149, in your faithful love, O Lord, hear my cry. Let me be revived by following your regulations. Verse 153, look upon my suffering and rescue me, for I have not forgotten your instructions. Verse 161, people harass me without cause, but my heart trembles only at your word. Let's look at what he's saying right there. My heart only trembles at your word. There's going to be a lot of attacks and a lot of things that come into your life that could make you shake and make you tremble and make you nervous and make you afraid. And there's something very powerful about the Bible when it says we are to fear God. We are to honor God in that way. That the only, well, let me put it this way. Whatever you're scared of or whatever you tremble at or whatever makes you nervous is your God, because what you're saying is that this thing has power over me, whatever it is. Maybe it's a person, a place, a thing, whatever, an action. When you are put in a position that you are shaking and you are concerned about these things, you're saying that this is my God. And what David is saying here is my heart only trembles at your word. And this is not a scared thing or a horror thing, but this is a fear of deep reverence. The only thing that would make my heart really afraid is if I thought, God, you didn't care for me or love me, that you, God, had left me. That's the only thing that's going to make me afraid. But when I think about the power of your word, my heart does begin to shake. And I get butterflies in my stomach, in my heart, in my spirit, thinking about how deeply you love me and how deeply you care for me. And I'm not going to let the things, the people that harass me and the people that keep talking to me and the issues that keep shouting at me and distracting me and wanting my attention, all these things that are in my life that are saying, hey, Robin, look over here. Hey, you don't have this and you need that and you're not fulfilled and there's all these voices and talking and hey, all these distractions. If I have not set aside time and devoted time to stay in the Word of God, then I will listen and I will pay attention to all these other things that are screaming for my attention. David says, I've made it up in my mind that people are going to harass me, powerful people. They're going to harass me and they're going to do things that I don't even deserve, but it's not going to affect my heart because my heart is anchored in your word. And how can our heart be anchored into his word? By reading his word. The final thing that his word does is his word expresses our worship. Verse 7 of 119, as I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. This is our response to a God who loves us so much that he gave his life for us. That we serve a Jesus that didn't just look at us from above and judge us based on his perception of how we might be, but he actually came to live as one of us so that he could see firsthand what it was like to live like one of us. He was man and he was God, Jesus Christ, and we're going to celebrate his incarnation, his becoming flesh and becoming man at Christmas time. We are so humbled by the fact that our God and our Savior would make himself like us and pay the price that we all should be paying and earn the life that we all want to live. We respond by taking his word and saying, what? Father, what does your word say? I want to eat it. I want to drink it. I want everything that I can take from your word because I'm so grateful and I'm so thankful that you adopted me in and you made me a part of your family and you love me just as much as you love your own self, your own son, Jesus. You love me that much. Thank you, God, that you've forgiven me and I make mistakes, but you still love me and you still forgive me and I'm your son, I'm your daughter. And so I am so eager to take this Bible that you've given us and I want to ingest it and I want to read it and I want to live as you have conveyed for me to live. It's my privilege and my honor to thank you by living as I should. I want to know his instructions. I want to hear what he has to say. Verse 131, David says, I pant with expectation, longing for your commands. That's the heart of a worshiper. That's somebody that is ready to obey, Lord, whatever you say. If you say baptism is the next thing after repentance of sin, and in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they said, don't put it off any longer. Just get baptized. You've given your life to God. If that's what your book says, Lord, show me where to go. Show me what to put on. I'm ready to get in. I'm ready to go all the way. I'm ready to do whatever your word might say. Verse 148, he says, I stay awake through the night thinking about your promise. Now, I know there's some folks that stay awake at night, tossing and turning. But most of the time, it's because you're meditating on things other than the Word of God. Things that are stressing you out, turning your stomach, making it difficult. David said, I stay awake at night. I'm thinking about your promise. How do we know what he's promised us? I think we could do better than that. How do we know what he's promised us? That's right. How do we know what is so awesome about God? We haven't read his word. The solutions, the place where you want to get in life, is there's no secret to it. You don't have to buy new books or go to new seminars. There is a book that has been trusted for centuries. It has stood the test of time. It is the bread of life. And Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, you can read an excerpt in the Gospels. When Jesus was in the desert, and he was fasting for 40 days, and he was tempted by the devil while he was doing the spiritual act of fasting. Every time the devil would give him some sort of temptation, he always, always responded by quoting the Word of God. That's how he responded. Now, how could he respond to the devil with the Word of God if it wasn't already in his heart? He responded, and one of the things he said is, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. That word is proceeding. That means it is still coming forth. And it doesn't have to be some word that someone says. In our church, we do believe in the gift of prophecy and discernment and knowledge, that God gives us these spiritual words and knowledge and things like that. But we've got a Bible that is full of the promises of God. And I want to encourage you. I'm really picking on social media today, Facebook in particular, because social media and television, it used to be just television, but now it's on our smartphones and it's on our iPads and it's on our laptops and our desktops and our computers and our televisions. We are never disconnected. And so if we're at a light, we're checking our status, or if we're at a, we get home, we're looking, we're not paying attention to family. We're so engaged socially with the world, supposedly, that we're really not engaged one-on-one with anybody. If we're so connected online that we're not reading the Word of God, then what's going to keep you up at night is what you've read online or what you've invested your brain into that day. That's what's going to keep you up at night. And let me just say this, reading like three scriptures on a Facebook post, that doesn't count as reading the Word of God, okay? Oh, I read the Word today. I saw four posts and I liked them all. No, that is not. Take some time and say, Lord, I desire you and I need you and I want you. And I'm trusting that the words I'm going to read in this book are not just historical words or old, it's not just some literary masterpiece, but it's an eternal word of God that is proceeding. And as I read it today, I'm going to get new life out of this book that I'm reading, this Bible that I'm reading, that I read this same verse last year. But this year I'm getting new meaning out of it. It's teaching me something new that I didn't even get last time. It's a living word of God. It's a proceeding word of God. And it has no magical powers to help you if you just like carry it, you know, like if you're going into a situation and you're like, I'm going to put the Bible here and I'm going to put the Bible on my counter so that my whole house will be holy, or I'm going to put it on the bookshelf so that this house is claimed for God, or I want to put it in my car, or put it in my cubicle at work, or my whatever. It doesn't do any good as a book itself. The only power that it has is when you open it and read it. when you open it and you read that word of God, it just begins to speak freshness into you and life into you. So there's a couple things there at the bottom of your notes in case you're new and exploring God maybe for the first time and you haven't read a whole lot. At Promised Land, we are very intentional about reading the Word of God. That's what today's all about. We want to make that clear, but maybe you're raised in a tradition where you personally didn't read the Word of God, and it was just for the church leaders or the priests or the pastors or whatever, and you were kind of discouraged or it wasn't important. We want to just crush that culture right now, destroy it, and be very obvious about that. We believe completely that every person in this room here has access to the Word of God, and it is your right and it is your privilege to get into the Word of God and read it for yourself. We have nothing to hide here. We want the Word of God to be the guide for this church and for your personal life. So if you're new and you haven't read much of the Bible at all, I want to encourage you to start in the New Testament. Don't start at the beginning of Genesis. Start in the New Testament with the book of John, and then read the book of John, and then read the book of Luke, and then read the book of Acts. These should be on your paper there. If you're exploring the Word of God, this will teach you the life of Jesus. The first two books, John and Luke, will teach you the life of Jesus, teach you the things he's taught, teach you what he's all about. And then the book of Acts will show you what life looked like to people who believed in Jesus after he left. So you can actually see what church was like and what life was like and see how they responded to the world. And that's the book of Acts. That's in the New Testament. If you have done that and you're familiar with Jesus and you're comfortable with that, why don't you lay a foundation by just going through the Bible from the beginning to the end? Maybe you start in Genesis. That is the beginning. Go from Genesis all the way through Revelations. There's two ways to do it. Usually, the one-year Bibles, you can actually go buy a one-year Bible that will give you a daily reading. And by the time you get to the 365th day, you've read the whole Bible. And it will give you an Old Testament reading and a New Testament reading. I would encourage you, if this is the first time you've ever read the Bible through, to start in Genesis and just go from Genesis all the way through. And if you're online, if you do it digitally, there's tons of free Bible plans that are in eBible or YouVersion. That's YOUVersion.com. And you can get a read the Bible through. And I read the last time I did, I started a year ago, and it took 8 months. I read all the way through the Bible, and I just devoured it. Just so hungry for the Word of God. Now, from about July to now, I've been taking segments. So maybe if you've already read the Bible through, maybe you can just take segments now, like the historical books of the Old Testament, or the poetic books of the Old Testament, or the prophetic books of the Old Testament. Those of you that have been around for a while know what I'm talking about. There's also the Gospels and the Epistles of the New Testament. These are try new translations that you haven't read before. Take notes, highlight. All right, we're going to leave the podcast right there, but we're praying in the name of Jesus that as you personally read God's Word this week, it is going to illuminate your direction. It is going to bring you deliverance, and it will express your worship to God. I mean, that is the bottom line. That's the meat and potatoes. We have seen the Bible do that in our life. I've seen it in my life, and I highly encourage you to jump off in faith and begin just devouring God's Word. I hope you have a blessed week as you read his word. And if you ever need anything, please contact us at Promised Land in San Marcos. You can email info@psmchurch.com or simply go to pastorrobin.com and leave me a message there. I'll hook up with you. All right, we'll see you next time.